Appreciate each of you being back for our study together tonight. We began a study in what I refer to as some important chapters of the Bible. All Scripture is given inspiration of God, and therefore all Scripture is important. So maybe I just should say that we're going to be looking at some of the chapters of the Bible. The particular chapter tonight is Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Thus far we've looked at, among other things, some introductory material, but at Genesis chapter 1, as God in the very beginning, Moses said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So God was there in the beginning. There's no evidence given by Moses, argument given to prove that he exists, but Moses just presented God to man through his writing. And in that first chapter, we find that that 6 days of creation take place. And in the second chapter, we find some of that repeated, the creation of man and of woman. And God rested on the seventh, and then we have the Garden of Eden, man placed in that garden, and God gives a command to his two creations, Adam and Eve, that they may eat of everything, every tree in the garden, but there is one that they should not eat of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we don't have 10 commandments, we have one commandment actually there. Obey me, obey God. So the first family, and there's a good lesson to be learned by all today from verse 24 of this chapter. After God says he made man, he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Moses writing there, and Jesus quotes from this in Matthew 19 concerning marriage in his day. Chapter 3, we don't know how much time has evolved. A lot of times when we read these chapters, we think that one follows immediately after the other chapters. We just don't know how much time evolved. But we know that man and woman were placed in the garden, and then they meet up for the first time with Satan. Let's look at verses 1 through 7. And I've entitled this section, these verses, as How Sin Evolved. And I've seen different approaches and different words used to say how sin evolves. But we'll use this particular one tonight. Let's read those verses. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman said that the tree was good for food, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons or things to gird about them. So verses 1 through 7, we're introduced to Satan. Satan introduces himself to Eve. He doesn't come up to Eve and said, hello, I'm Mr. Satan. The Bible in New Testament, Peter pictures Satan as going around like a roaring lion. Well, Satan, he doesn't appear as that roaring lion as such, because he didn't come up and, you know, I'm a lion, but I really am Satan. Satan is very deceptive, and that's what he's doing, and his guise and his method throughout history. And it's through deception. It's through deception that Satan is working on Eve at this time. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and then verse 14. It speaks of Satan. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 and verse 14. As Paul was writing his second letter here to the church at Corinth, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So he was fearful that the serpent would also deceive them. Look at verse 14. It says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." That's one of the ways in which he deceives, by appearing to be what he is not. By us seeing something that's really Satan, when actually we don't treat it as being Satan. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation 12 and verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Again, over in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, look at verse 2. "And he laid hold on the dragon." This is an angel that's doing his. "It laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. We won't get into discussion of 1,000 years, but Satan is referred to as the devil and also as the serpent. So that we don't have to go trust to conjecture and guesswork that's what's going on here in chapter 3. I was thinking about it in class this morning in Galatians. What is really the sin that Eve commits? It wasn't listed in any of those sins that's listed in the book of Galatians chapter 5 as such. But their sin was disobedience. Disobedience to God. You know, a lot of times I'm afraid folks, as they read the Bible and they see what God wants them or us to do, sometimes it just blows right by, and we don't realize that when we disobey God, whether as Christians or non-Christians, we are sinning, and sin separates from God. That's what's going to happen to them. They're going to be separated from God, moved out of the garden, moved out of the presence of God. God was walking and talking with them, but he won't be walking and talking with them as such and in the manner in which he was here early on. So she's deceived. She has disrespect for authority, and that's the main problem. And isn't that a problem today? It's a problem almost in every walk of life. Lack of respect for authority. People don't like to be told what to do, especially if they think there's an out or if there's a reason, if it can be rationalized. So she listens to Satan when she should have denounced him. Verses 4 and 5, serpent said, you shall not surely die. And so he's having her go through denial by telling her what he sees and really what is reality. You shall not surely die. You'll be as gods. I don't know how, we can easily say, well, you know, she should have known better than that. But then we may look at something that we've done and say, well, I didn't know any better. But desire followed by Eve's decision, she saw, she took, she ate, and she shared. That's one thing she shared. She shared with Adam. And then that next point for verse 7, their eyes were opened, their innocence was lost. A lot of times people look back to Adam and Eve and talk about original sin. Well, this was the original sin, but it was only theirs. The guilt of Adam and Eve extended only to them. They were the ones that were accountable for that sin. Now, the consequences that we'll find out a little bit later, the consequences of their sin reaches down throughout the end of time. Let's look at the next group of verses. We'll try to. Jerry has challenged me to keep my sermon as short as his was this morning. Sometimes I get too talkative, though. So maybe I'll just have to cut down on the time of his songs. I don't know. God comes calling, 8 through 13. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Oh, it must have felt good. They were under a shade tree or what, but it wasn't hot. There wasn't any sweat coming off of Adam's brow at this point, unless his sweat because he was concerned about what they had done. It says, in the cool of the day they were there in the garden, and Adam and his wife had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Can you imagine trying to hide behind a tree to get away from God? And yet people hide behind just about anything to get away from God today, don't they? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, I can't find you. Where are you? No, he could find him. He knew where he was. He wanted Adam to see where he was. Verse 10. And he said, Adam speaks. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Boy, you scared me. No, he didn't see you scared. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. In other words, I was ashamed to be before you the way I was. He was not only naked as far as lack of clothing, he was naked as far as what he had done. God knew. Then in verse 11, he said, who told thee, God speaking, that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? One command that had been given them. And the man said, this is the passion, the first passion of the buck. Passion of the buck. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and boy, that was my downfall. I did eat. Verse 13, Lord speaks back. Lord says to the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, this is the start of the blame game. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Blame it on somebody else, right? Adam passes a buck to Eve. Eve said, I was beguiled. It wasn't my fault. The blame game. Okay, that takes us down through verse 13. See how I've summed it up. Walking in the garden, there was God walking in the garden in the cool of the garden. I suppose like he had done before. We don't have a whole lot about that because we don't have much recorded. But then he says he was talking in the garden, questioning, bantering back and forth between himself and between Adam and Eve. They are hiding or trying to hide. They couldn't hide from God, and we can't hide from God any more than they couldn't. And the questions from God, as I put down here, there was buck passing from Adam and the blame game by Eve. And so sin, before we have a beginning of a lot of things in the book of Genesis, rather, and in fact the book means the beginnings, and here we have the beginning of sin. It doesn't take long for others to come about in chapter 4. So we come to verse 14. How is God going to react to what has gone on in this beautiful paradise that he has built to these two people that he created in his own image? Created with choice, not puppets. You know, some would have us believe today that there are a certain number of people who are chosen, by God, and it doesn't matter what they do. You tell Adam and Eve that. They were chosen by God, too, to be the first two people. But they had choice. They had choice. From the very beginning, there was God, and there was choice. Man could make, and woman could make, their own decision, and neither could pass the buck on to somebody else. They couldn't pass it on to each other. They couldn't pass it on to Satan. There was nobody else around, and it was their problem. And God is going to deal with them, and he's going to deal with the serpent first, verses 14 through 16. I don't know about the appearance of the serpent here in the first verses. Whenever I hear the word serpent, I think of snake. Well, maybe he wasn't like a, quote, snake from the beginning, but let's look at verse 14 through 16. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go. So he wasn't on his belly before this time, I guess. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You couldn't be any closer to dust than to be flat on your belly crawling around in the dirt like a snake does. I'll put enmity, and here is the first, and it's a, I guess I referred to it, I think, as a veiled promise of the coming of Christ. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I have to think about this every time and write something down as far as to really how to explain that to myself, so I've written it down here. Christ bruised the head of Satan when he brought life and more immortality to light through his resurrection, through the gospel, his resurrection from the dead. When you bruise somebody's head, it's a little bit tougher than getting your heel bruised. And that's what Satan was to do with to woman's seed. So the bruising of the heel of the Son of God then refers to Jesus, rather it refers to Jesus' crucifixion. And we know he didn't stay on the cross, so it was a temporary thing. And Jesus was raised from the dead from the third day. At least I've seen that as a plausible evaluation and explanation of that speaking of the bruising of the head is a much greater of much greater consequences than the bruising of a heel. And speaking of between thy seed and her seed, we have in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 the quote from the book of Genesis that spoke of one who would be the seed of Abraham and who through him all nations of the earth would be blessed. And down in verse 16 of Galatians 3, we have that seed being referred to as Christ. And in Galatians 4 and verse 4, we have these words from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. There's only one descendant of Eve who was born of woman, but was not begotten of man. So this is a seed of woman. It doesn't mention the seed of man, the seed of woman. And that individual was the Son of God, the Christ. Let's see, we want to read on through verse 16. What else happens? That's what happens to the serpent. Well, the woman's going to have some problems too. I don't know the nature of childbirth prior to that time, but because there have been no children born. But at this point, things have changed drastically. Unto the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over you, to be subject to the husband. I don't know what that relationship was before then, but this appears to be a change in that relationship, the role of husband and wife, to some extent anyway. So that's what happens to Satan. That's what happens to the woman. The woman would have her sorrow multiplied. Satan would be cursed, have to forever crawl on his belly. And then in verses 17 through 21, there's a curse placed upon ground, but also upon Adam at the same time. Reading from verse 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten. So God wasn't accepting his excuse. He wasn't accepting his passing the buck. Like, okay, she was deceived by the serpent. All I did was go along with her. She's my wife. That won't fly. He said, of which I commanded thee, you ate of that tree, which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. I don't know to what extent they were to be furnished food prior to this time, but it had drastically changed. Thorns, verse 18, thistles. It shall bring forth the ground. It's going to be tough. If any of you have ever done any farming or gardening, it is rough. Especially if you have to do it in order to get something to eat. Or it's your way of life, or both. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Sweat. That's the first mention of sweat. We don't like to use the word sweat. Most prefer the word perspire. But if you get out and work and do farm work, you're going to sweat. And so, probably before this time, it wasn't going to be a whole lot of work to get what you were going to eat. But from this point forward, Adam and his descendants will have to work pretty hard in order to get the food that they're going to eat. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, which is Eve, that is living. It's what the Hebrew word means. Verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. So they're no longer, all the time we see Adam and Eve in the garden with the, if you see them in pictures, scantily clad. But that didn't happen, didn't stay that way long. They had coats of skin. They were clothed by God. So we're down to verse 22, where now something really drastic happens that affects them immediately. I don't know what kind of paradise, but I assume that they had a gate to this garden. So I assume that it was the first gated community. And I don't know whether they were going to have to leave that community. Maybe to get animals that they would eat or whatever. But they had it good. They never knew how good they had it until this happened. Verse 22. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. Remember, that's one of the trees listed back in chapter 2. The tree of life. I take it that they could have eaten of that tree maybe earlier. I don't know. Because it wasn't said that they couldn't eat of that tree. It said they could only... they could not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I assume if they could eat that tree of life back at that time, they would not die. Now let's put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And I assume also to keep them out of that garden. So they no longer had the same relationship with God. There in the garden, God would walk and would talk with them. There in the garden, they would not be sweating their brow. There in the garden, there would not be that pain in childbirth for the women. It was a paradise, as some have said. But they're driven out. No longer allowed to have the same relationship with God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 would later say that your iniquities have separated you from God. And that at this point, they were separated from God. They were separated from the tree of life, and they will now experience physical death. They no longer had the same relationship with God in the perfect surroundings of their perfect home, as I've mentioned here. They were separated from Him, and that is spiritual death. We think of eternal life is to be with God. Eternal death is to be separated from God. So our chapter so far, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A lot of people do not believe that. Probably most people don't believe that. Or say they believe it, but don't believe in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Man and woman in the garden in the chapter 2 are placed in a garden of paradise. Evidently a pretty well self-sufficient garden. And God will take care of them. He'll walk and talk with them and help them. Gave them a command that they shouldn't eat of a particular tree. Chapter 3, we have them entering sin. Sin enters and Adam and Eve exit the garden and the presence of God. So we'll continue our study, I guess it's next Sunday night. I thought about maybe a lesson on why we studied the Old Testament. Why do we take the time? Most of this book we call the Bible is made up of the Old Testament. Why spend time over there when over here we can learn all about Christianity? Well, maybe we need to talk about that. Because we need to spend time over here. That's our lesson for tonight. If one here tonight, I think everyone here tonight is a Christian of accountable age. As a Christian, though, if you're here and you desire the prayers of this congregation on your behalf, or you wish to rededicate your life to God, if you have need for that, we invite you to come as we stand, as we say.